tell everybody that said I was looking good this morning. My daughter didn't even reply when I told her she was looking good this morning. I picked out the purple suit for you guys today. Come on now. I love me the purple suit. It's good stuff. God is good, good, good. And his mercy endures forever. You know, you go messing around and keep saying that. You know what happens? The temple fills with the Shekinah glory of God. And then nobody can even play instruments because they can't see or anything like that. Something about when you're willing to praise and worship God and just give him your all, the atmosphere changes. The atmosphere changes. That's, whoo, hallelujah. I'm going to pray and then we'll get after it. Does it sound good?
Yes.
Amen. Father God, thank you for this wonderful time to come and serve your people today, Lord God. I would ask that you use me today as a vessel, Lord God, to bring forth the word that you've put on my heart, Lord, that it would be effective in changing lives, minds, hearts, directions. I thank you, God, that you are good. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So, in case you didn't know that, this, because there's not as many seats filled on Wednesday, so I could say confidently that some of you weren't here. The last few Wednesdays, Pastor Ricky's been on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's been talking about not living by the rumors of God, but knowing who God is, right?
Amen.
And what God does. But this week, he's actually talked about Abraham a couple times.
Yep.
This week in particular, it's Genesis 17, verse, and we're going to read 1 through 8. Uh-oh. Got that. Got that ping going. All right. When Abram was 99 years old. Oh, let me go to the New King James. Oh, no. I'll get it. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.
Amen.
Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.
Amen.
I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So on Wednesday, when Pastor Ricky was talking about this, I got sidetracked. Because God changed Abram's name based off of what God called him. God said, you're going to be a father of many nations, and I'm changing your name so that you'll know it. And then every time you speak your name, every time someone else speaks your name, every time you think about your name, you won't think about Abram, the desert wandering dude, but you're Abraham. The father of many nations.
Amen.
Abraham, the beginning of kingly lineage,
yep.
Right?
Yes.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says, right?
Yes.
Now, something came to me just a second ago, and this will go on with the sermon. Would you believe that Abraham wasn't even considered a child of God?
Yes.
Scriptural. Because he didn't have the covenant we have. He had a different covenant. We got that one covenant, you know, the one built on better promises.
Amen.
That's the covenant we have.
Because
we're king's kids.
Amen.
And we'll get into that in just a second. But that's so, to me, it's moving.
Yeah.
Makes me excited, right? If God can take Abram and turn him into a father of many nations by changing his name, by changing his name, how much more can my God do for me when he not only changed my name, but he changed my family?
Yes.
Get it? And I'm not saying that your mom's not your mom anymore, but what I am saying is your dad, when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your dad is now God.
Amen.
That's exciting.
Amen.
So God, in this new covenant, as long as I'll accept his son Jesus and by faith, God changes not my name, but my family.
Amen.
He changes where I'm lined up.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
God is good. He did that for us because he loves us.
Amen.
Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Will you, can you pull up the message for me, please? I want you guys to catch something really quick. This one got me in the message. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature.
Amen.
Now, a couple things. We know that God is the creator of heaven and earth, right?
Amen.
All right, I'm glad I got some people that can agree with that. So, God is the creator of heaven and earth. We know that his nature is a nature of love, correct?
Yes.
All right, a couple more agreed with that. So, God gave us the nature of love, but he also gave us, put in us, that creative power that spoke into existence the world.
Amen.
All right, some of you, not so much. All right, so God also put into us the same creative nature that he had through his words that we can speak and create, right?
Amen.
Now, I'm not out here saying that we're gods. Before somebody takes a clip on YouTube, we're not gods. I get that. But God did make us in his image.
Yes.
Image means a copy, representation, or likeness. God said, hey, let's make man like us.
Amen.
Now, a couple things covered here. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We don't have to get into that. But the Trinity, right? So God doesn't just talk to himself. He talks to his Son, talks to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. Notice that in all of creation, mankind, human beings, the only one that God gave a voice, that God gave words.
Amen.
Can you imagine the mess that we could be in if Hammer had words? It would be ridiculous.
Amen.
Hammer's my dog, in case you didn't know. But if think about that. If animals could speak the things that they could speak, there has to be a reason why God didn't bless them with language. But he gave it to us, mankind, because we're created in his likeness. We're created in his image. It's not that that he doesn't love dogs. I'm sure he does. He loves Hammer because he's kept Hammer alive this long. But he gave us the ability to speak the words that we speak and to create with those things. Now, maybe you're like, well, we can't go creating words. We're not creative like God's creative. But does the Bible not say that life and death is in the power of the tongue?
Yes.
It does, right?
Yes.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The tongue is something that was given to us. We can use that to create words if we just go with the science. So life, the words you speak are life and they are death. Whichever one you speak, you'll get. I know a bunch of people that every day they have to say, oh, today's a bad day. Oh my gosh, Daddy had the diabetes. Now I've got to have the diabetes. And they end up, and sure, as you are here today, they get the diabetes.
Yes.
They have the bad day.
Yes.
I don't want to tell on Heather, but she gets stuck in traffic. She's telling me no. But here's the reality. I'm going to tell on Heather. This might not be good for my afternoon, but it's good for you. When Heather drives Ireland to school, she can leave at the same time every single day and undoubtedly get stuck in traffic. Undoubtedly. Me, and she says, oh, traffic's always bad. Me, I'm like, not today, Satan. And so I get right to Ireland school. Sometimes we'll have traffic, not frequently, but that's usually because somebody in front of me was speaking about that traffic. They're like, I'm always stuck in traffic. I'm like, these doubters and naysayers, you're messing with my flow. And Ireland, even when we leave late, I still get Ireland to school on time. And that's not Heather's fault. It's the traffic's fault. But you know how we got there. Oh, sleeping on the couch. No, Hammer sleeps in a cage. Because Hammer is a bad boy. Oh, see, now he's a bad boy. Oh, you guys tricked me. No. Hammers it. I actually had to tell Heather just recently, will you quit calling my dog Demon Spawn? He's just going to be ruined. So she did.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So God calls us his kids, right? God calls us his beloved. In fact, in Proverbs 8:30, I love this. This is something we learned when we were taking OSL. In Proverbs 8:30, so all of Proverbs 8 is wisdom speaking, okay? Wisdom being Jesus. And it says in chapter 8, verse 30, it says, then I was beside him, this is Jesus speaking, then I was beside him, Jesus was beside God, as a master craftsman. Now we could tie that back to in John where he says that he created everything. Everything was created by him, through him, right? And without him, nothing was created. So we could tie all that back. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman and I was daily his delight. Jesus was daily God's delight, the Father's delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Jesus. In whom and by whom and through whom all things were ever made, delighted in you before you were born. This scripture is actually, he's speaking this before creation.
Amen.
So Jesus, in knowing forever, knew that he was going to delight in you forever.
Amen.
Right? That's why the exchange had to happen. That's why when Satan tricked Adam and Adam goofed up and he broke communion with God, Jesus was like, Dad, send me.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll fix this.
Yes.
Send me. I can we're gonna get him back. Those are my guys. Yeah. That's my delight. I want them back. I want to be with them always.
Amen.
That's Jesus. That's the Son. That's what he wants for you.
Yes.
Not from you. Amen. He wants that for you.
Amen.
Jesus desires to have relationship. Jesus desires to have friendship. That's his whole basis is that he wants you.
That's
right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Not followers.
Yes. Amen.
Believing and following completely different things.
Amen.
He's not looking for followers. He's looking for believers. Somebody that will take him at his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Huh? Nope. You. Proverbs 18:21. Oh, this is death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Mark 11, verse 12. Got ahead of my notes and back in my notes. It's craziness. Oh, the fig tree. Words. Now the next day when they had gone out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs, or for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again," and his disciples heard it.
Amen.
All righty, so we're going to stop there. Go back to the previous. Wasn't the season for figs? You could say that currently, today, that the economy is not the season for prosperity.
Come on.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't expect prosperity in this particular situation. If you're sitting in sickness, it might not for you be the season of health. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't expect to be healthy. Because if Jesus, knowing full well, because he's who created fig trees, that tree may not have fruit on it, but still went to it for fruit. Because how many of you know, sometimes you can get, woohoo, right?
Yes.
He expected fruit when it was supposed to be fruitful.
Yeah.
We should be more like Jesus.
Come on.
When things are all chaotic and weird around us, we should expect peace.
Yes.
Yes.
When things are all falling apart around us, we should expect for things to be built up around us. But it starts with how we speak. Because in the next verse, he says, nope, never again, dude. You're out. Nice try, bud. No more fruit from you. Sorry about my paraphrasing. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. Now down in verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away."
Amen.
So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.
Amen.
Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Here's the thing I want to tell you, because it's scripture, okay? If you're sitting in, these are just chairs, not pews, but if you're out here, right, and you're thinking, "This guy is nuts. He thinks we can actually like just speak things and they happen." Jesus said,
"Amen."
That is why when you speak, and I'm not pointing at anybody, that's just the empty chair. That is why when you speak, nothing happens.
Amen. Amen.
That is why when you speak, good things, nothing happens. But that is also why when you speak bad things, it always does. Because you are more willing to believe Satan for terrible things to happen to you than you're willing to believe God for good things to happen to you. Because it's really easy when you kind of feel a headache coming on to say, "Oh my God." But it's really hard to, when things are a little tough around you, for you to be prosperous. Now we're messing with stuff. Now we're like, what? That's the reality of God. That's the reality of God. It's easy to sit around when I had COVID. Oh, it took every bit of strength I had to speak what the devil was telling me.
Amen.
Amen.
It was so hard. Because when I did have that, I was so weak. Everything I could to protect my words. Thank God that he helped me.
Yes.
See, in hindsight, if I would have that the devil was feeding me,
right,
I would not be here.
Amen.
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 I know that because it was ministered to my heart. Don't speak the words.
Come on.
God guarded me.
Because
I was so tired. Nothing I could do but believe God. It was hard. Second Peter 1:3. I like this one. I'm going to go back to verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Amen.
God has placed in us, as I said before, that power.
Amen.
For all things that pertain to life and godliness, to life and godliness, to life, what we live, and godliness, how we should be living. So God, if God placed in you the power to carry on with what he has asked you to do simply by speaking your words, because we know that's the words are where the power lies.
Amen.
Amen.
Then if we'll get our tongues in check. Now, scripture says that it's an unruly member, unable to be tamed. What is it calls it fire, everything. I don't know why I didn't write that scripture down. Makes perfect sense in this context. So, but nonetheless, if God has given us the ability to speak things, the ability to create our situation, and even, let me say it this way, affect our situation.
Yes.
Amen.
With our words.
Yes.
To change things with our words. To do things with our words. Why are we still all about having a bad day? Why are we still all about
being sick this week?
Come on.
I don't like going to work, guys. I gotta wake up tomorrow, drive to Kingman, go to work. Clock that 8 hours or 8 and a half. It's 11 or 12 hours before I get home. It's nuts. And when I don't feel like going in, because they give me sick days, but I don't get sick.
Right. Come on now.
So I just don't feel like coming in today. I'm not going to cut. Now, if I have something happens and I'm not well, I will tell the truth, but I won't make a lie up and be like, oh gosh, I've just got the head cold. Nope. I just don't feel like coming in today. Because Pastor Ricky feels like going golfing. No, I'm just joking. Oh gosh. Wow, that's a true story, sir. I would not lie from up here. I have called off to go golfing. Heather's so happy when I do that. Oh, you'll call off to go hang out with Pastor Ricky? It's for spiritual growth, ma'am. Oh, gosh. Romans 8:14. I just want to put some things in perspective for you guys. You know, the ladies came back from Angelus Temple this weekend, right? They went up there. They had a mighty move of God. And so our pastors and their parents all went to Rhema, right? I don't know, our pastors didn't, but their parents went to Rhema Bible Training Center, right? It's founded by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, some would call him, even though there was a guy before him who actually, like, pioneered the whole thing, I guess. I'm not going to get into church history. But I will tell you this, that Kenneth Hagin, like, man, these crazy people, word of faith, blab it and grab it. Man, it's in our heritage.
Amen.
And we'll go back even further, a couple thousand years.
Amen.
When Jesus stood on the tip of a boat and said, "Peace, be still."
Amen.
And people have a problem. If we were to do that, if you got up, you're in an airplane, and there's a little bit of turbulence, and you said, "Peace, be still," everybody would, they might laugh at you, but when the plane chill, I'm like, oh my gosh. What's with this? What kind of, they'd probably say like them, the apostles, "What power is this?" It's that God kind of power. That power we get because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Dwelling within us. God says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that God lives in you. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that God, the creator of heaven and of earth, lives in you. That right there, that's shouting, that's running, come on now. We got to be excited that God has chosen us, imperfect vessels, to make perfect by giving us the Holy Spirit to indwell within us.
Amen.
That makes me happy. So Romans 8:14. She's got it up there instead of looking through. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Galatians 4:7. I won't change it, I promise. "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." 1 John 3:1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Hallelujah. John 1:2. Oh, I said that's wrong. That might be 1 John 1:2. Nope, we'll just kick that one on the side. I put the wrong scripture down. Ephesians 1:5, though. We can move right along. It's like when you're singing a song and you miss it. You just move to the next verse. Nobody will notice. Nobody will notice. Thank God it's all good. "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself." Would you say that there is enough evidence in the scriptures to say that we, as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, become children of God? Would you say that's a possibility? Would you say that in the scripture it says that we are?
Yes.
All right, 50%. That's almost good. So if we're the sons and the daughters of God, and who in here has been a parent before or is currently a parent? Alrighty, I am too. Check this out. How many of you, as parents, human, fallible, terrible parent, you're not terrible parents, but your humanity makes it hard for you to love the way God loves. That's the point I'm trying to make. How many of you, fallible humans, would ever say, "Well, Ireland," no, I don't want to say it, "I hope my son or my daughter will be sick so I can teach them a lesson"? Anybody? Any hands? Any takers? No? Now, I know that some of us will whip our kids because they need it. And that is a valuable lesson. But the reality is we don't want to do it. We just have to do it. We don't. So it's not a "I get to." It's a "I have to." Right? Okay. How many of you would say that as a parent, you would ever be like, "Well, I hope my kid struggles their whole life"?
No.
No? "I hope my kid's poor as to show how well my family is." Is that? Nobody.
No.
Are you sure? So why do we think that God is that way? We're fallible. We're not, I mean, we're just humans. We make mistakes. There's no way that my love could ever surpass or even come near God's love. Because oddly enough, I don't have that ability outside of Christ.
Amen.
So why would I think for a second that is how God wants me to live?
Amen.
Why would I think for a second that's how I would think that that's how God wants you to live?
That's right.
Amen.
But for some reason, in the broad church today, if you're not broke, if you're not sick, if you're not struggling, you're not godly.
Come on.
There really is a movement that states that. I had somebody tell me that they were crippled and hadn't been able to walk since they were 14 or something years old. And it was a testament and a lesson from God. That he had, you hadn't learned it yet? I know, like, if my kids learn a lesson, since Ireland's the only one home, we're going to talk about Hammer. If Hammer would learn not to eat television remotes, Hammer would not have to live in his cage. Simple as that. We don't call it a cage at home. We tell him to go to bed because we don't want to give him a complex that he's in a cage all the time. But if he would learn to stop doing silly and horrible things like that, he could have free reign. We had to take our doggy door down because the dogs, Gus, because I want to tell on Gus too, Gus is attacking the neighbors through the gate. And that doesn't work for us with dogs. Because the neighbor told Heather, we can't even come out on our patio. That dog is so mean. And Gus is like an affectionate and loving dog in all reality. But now we take down our doggy door, and it makes me get up at 4:30. I'm learning a lesson to get rid of Gus. And as soon as I do, I'm going to put the doggy door back up. Just joking. But so if God was teaching you a lesson by making you learned, the burden should be removed.
Amen.
So the logic there is foul.
Right.
It can't, it's not true.
Amen.
That's not my God.
That's right.
So why are we stuck on this?
Come on.
We need to stop. We have to realize that the scriptures say that we're his sons. If we're his sons and his daughters, if that made you upset. We're his children. We'll just say children. We're his children. And he's a good father. Better than I could ever be.
Amen.
Then we need to stop attributing all the calamity in our lives to a God who's trying to give us a lesson.
Amen.
So stop doing that if you're doing that.
Amen.
God didn't do it. God didn't pop your tire to teach you to be more on time.
Amen.
Probably what happened is something happens every morning. There's always some kind of trouble trying to leave the house. Stop it. If I had a can with coins, I'd shake it at you. Because we don't hit dogs anymore in this society. It's like, try that with kids. Oh. If I am a child of God, I have children of God rights.
Yes. Amen.
Despite how it... Okay, so Isaac and Gabe both live outside the house. They still come to my house unannounced and eat our food. And here's the crazy thing. Isaac does this. He'll be like this. And this isn't to throw you on the spot or anything like that or tell you not to do it, but stop. He'll call me. He'll be like this. And we eat late at our house because that's the way we've always lived. So if it's 7:30, there's a good chance we haven't eaten dinner yet. So Isaac will call, yo man, you eating dinner yet? No. Cool, I'm on my way. Well, are you stopping and getting food? No, what are you guys having? And so he's expecting dinner. That's because he is my kid. And if God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, we should expect to have the same thing. Because whatever I'm eating at my house, Isaac believes, because he's my son. Even though he moved out, he is entitled to my food. It's okay. I'm not mad at him for it. Because it's a great illustration of how we should be with God.
Amen.
But we don't do that.
Come on now.
We're afraid to ask God for some things.
Come on.
Oh, that's too much for God. Creator of heaven and earth, that's too much for God. Dude, all you need is the electric bill. Like, he creates the electricity. He'll be all right. You can ask him for a little bit of help, right?
Amen.
Enough food for, oh man, whatever. In Luke 12:7, this is going to be rapid fire. I'm going to see how quickly I can get through it. Because, yeah, in Luke 12:7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than sparrows.
Amen.
God says you're valuable.
Amen.
In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen generation. You are kings and priests.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 139:14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:19, this is something that I brought up earlier. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has placed the Holy Spirit in you. God lives in you. These are the things that you should be speaking over your life. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't live where there's lack and decay. And sickness is lack and decay. So the Holy Spirit is in me. And I refuse to have lack and decay in the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. We are victorious. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says that's when we're endowed with the power of God through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So just really quick, for some reason, somebody here is saying you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You don't know enough to witness to people. Maybe you have somebody in your life that you've felt a drive or a burden to speak with them about Jesus. But you're looking at your own self instead of looking to God and the Holy Ghost that he put in you to give you the right words. So what I will tell you is that next time that comes to you, the next time, because it's going to come again, where you feel that burden to share the gospel with somebody, and the devil comes with that same old lie, you're not good enough. You don't take that.
Amen.
Tell him, no, I am good enough, because it's not me who does this, but it's the Holy Ghost who does this.
Amen.
The Spirit of God that dwells within me will give me the right words. And so, Father, I thank you right now that you would give me the words to speak and the time to speak them in the name of Jesus. And you'll be able to do so. If you're not serving because you don't think you're good enough, get over yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8:37. I love this one. When we were in kids' life, we used to do this one all the time. Yet in all these things, we are made more than conquerors through Him who loved us.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors.
Amen.
So, since we're on this, I want y'all to repeat after me. Say, I am more
than a conqueror.
Now say it like you mean it.
I am more
than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah. The kids were louder and there were only 13 of them, but you know, whatever. If you feel that's good enough, we're good with that. Ephesians 2:6. I used to love having, because so when I was in kids' life we'd be back there and I'd see if I can get I'd try to get them loud enough to get an usher to come and tell us to be quiet. I'd be like, yo, guys, the ushers ain't here yet. We're not doing it right. We need to shake heaven and earth. When we're speaking these things over our lives, we need to shake heaven and earth.
Amen.
Ah, look where we're. When you're seated in the throne room of God, when you're sitting there with God, Jesus, Holy Ghost, at the right hand, right? We're not on the left hand. We're not the court jester.
Amen.
We're sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
Everything changes.
Amen.
So when those things come up against you that make life hard, that make you wonder if Jesus really does love you, that make you wonder if this whole faith thing is worth it, remember your position.
Amen.
Because if you'll remember that, and any of these number of things, if you're sick, God says you're healed. If you're crippled, God says you're whole. If you're broke, God says you're rich. If you're sad, God says you're full of joy. If you're angry, God says you have peace.
Amen.
Amen.
If you'll remember that and then believe it, because there's a lot of difference between remembering and believing, right?
Amen.
But if you'll put that in your heart and believe God that the things that the Bible says, not what Mr. Clinton says, not what Pastor Chelsea or Pastor Ricky says, not what Brother I'm on the Radio says, but what the Word of God says.
Amen.
If you'll believe that, you will have more than you've ever had. You will be living in the year of enlarging and the year of growth.
Amen.
But we got to believe it. Because remember, not Abraham, not David, not the prophets of old, none of them were children of God.
That's right.
Amen.
They all served God, and we love them for it. But none of them were children of God.
Amen.
You are.
Yes.
So long as you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Which brings me to the next piece. Bow your heads and close your eyes. So if this is by chance all trivial to you, it's okay. It's in the Word. Read the Word. But all this only works if you believe Jesus and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. So with all the heads bowed and all the eyes closed, I'll ask you, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you haven't, I'd like to invite you to do so right now. So while I'm looking around and nobody else is, just me, and maybe the worship team because they're playing instruments. If that's you, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe by chance you have, but you've spent ages away from Him, pop your hand up. I want to pray with you. I want to invite you to know God as your Father. If that's you. Hallelujah. Speaking to a room full of King's kids. Hallelujah. So we're still going to go ahead and pray. If you'll just repeat after me, especially if you raised your hand.
Father God,
I thank you
for your Son Jesus.
And I accept Him now
as my Lord and Savior.
I invite you into my heart to rule my life and to change me forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. We got some business taken care of. We got the word preached. We got the worshiping going. I think that's good. Do you want me to dismiss then?
Let's just sing through this one more time. I'll move up.